Okay, start out with, first of all, Bruchim Abayim. Start out with 15 minutes just of either general chizuk or tips perhaps to maximize your daf yomi learning or to keep with it, which is also not a very simple task. I think that one of the reasons it gets difficult to stick with something is not only because you get this boost of inspiration by a siyum to go ahead and get started, but you get that boost of inspiration and you see yourself in that spot. Oh, what's it going to be like when I get to make a siyum? That's very, very exciting. And then that's 7.5 years later, and it's not tomorrow. So it gets very, very difficult to keep up with it. The excitement doesn't happen every single day. So I think a couple things can help us maintain that excitement. First and foremost is to realize that siyums are nice and finishing things are nice, but also learning a daf of Gemara is very nice. In fact, it's an unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable thing. And when we only value a siyum of Shas, or a siyum of a Seder, or a siyum of a Masechet, or a siyum of a Perek, then we don't feel the value in what we do every single day. It's like one daf doesn't feel important to us, it just feels like, well, this is just another brick in this massive, massive building that I'm creating, and it's nothing almost by itself, which is just so not the case. It is a kinyan of an entire daf and Torah. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's not just one out of 2,711. It is a daf that you have an absolute responsibility to know, and you should have like a mini simcha for yourself. If you have to buy ice cream afterward, it's mutter. Listen, it's a little bit weak, but it's mutter. If you need it, you need it. Have like a mini simcha, to yourself. Be proud of that. I did a daf. I finished. That is a quantifiable, significant part of Talmud Torah that I just accomplished, and it's a wonderful thing. And I don't need a siyum to remind myself that learning a daf Gemara was an exceptional thing to do. And if we keep that in mind, right, we have a little bit of a small chagiga in our minds every time we finish a daf, every time we finish a daf Yom Yishir, then we're happy just by that. And that'll help us keep us going. Because if we're just waiting to the next siyum, here we'll talk about siyums in a little bit and how they can be used. But if we're just waiting to the next siyum, we're not going to feel excited about what we did today. But you should always feel excited about every quantifiable amount of Torah. Really, it's something that's truly incredible. You know, the way you look at it, imagine you did 2,710 daf and shas, right? You can't make a siyum. Can't make a siyum shas. Why? Because that one daf is the difference between you making a siyum and not making a siyum. That one daf is that important. So even the first daf is that important, not just the last daf. So that's number one. And then number two is, while learning daf yomi is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and you should, Emir Tzashem, get a tremendous amount of knowledge of Torah from it, in my opinion, the single most important part about doing daf yomi is so that you can say the following. Today, I learned Gemara. Yesterday, I learned Gemara. Tomorrow, I will be learning Gemara. I think that's the single most important thing about doing daf yomi. In which case, that you can say Emir Hashem every day except for bracho daf bet for your first time necessarily. You know, I assume most people in this room learned Gemara yesterday, but every other time you can say, yesterday I learned Gemara, today I'm learning Gemara, tomorrow I will learn Gemara. That's so much more important than a siyum. A siyum, it's a simon. Right? It's a time to stop and recognize and acknowledge that you did something good, something great even. But it's not. The siyum isn't the simcha. The siyum is a recognition of the simcha of Limud Torah. And it's a tremendous thing, and you need to accept that and keep that in mind. The most important thing in the world is for you to say, is not to finish, right? Although finishing is fun, it's to say, I learned today and yesterday, and I will learn tomorrow. That's the single most important part. Right, it's like the metaphor that Nathanael Cohen gave at his siyum yesterday, right, where the poor man is watering the king's flowers, and he has one bucket, and the bucket has a hole in it, and he fills it up with water, and by the time he gets to the top of the hill, he only has like a couple drops left in the bucket, and his friends make fun of him and say, "What are you wasting your time for, watering with a bucket and with a hole in it? And all the water is out by the time you get up there. What are you even doing?" So one version of the story says he walks to the top of the hill and he shows his friend, "Look at this tall tree that's standing here." Yeah, because just a few drops every single day, you would never imagine the impact that it would have. never imagined the impact it would have. It's similar to the Rabbi Akiva mashal of the drops on the rock, how they make a hole in the rock, right? It's similar, maybe this is where drip irrigation came from, how Israelis invented it, maybe they knew this mashal. But, and maybe the other version of this story, the other version of this story is, he takes him to the top of the hill and you see absolutely nothing there because he didn't succeed in watering it. And they're like, "What are you bringing us here for? This is a joke. We told you, you're not doing anything." And he looks at them and he goes, "Yeah, but look how clean my bucket is, right? When you put water through a bucket every day, so it stays clean. And maybe you don't have a tremendous, tremendous amount of Yediyata Torah, but what do you have? You got a pretty clean bucket." So that's number one, the value of learning Daf Yomi. Although siyums are a wonderful, wonderful thing, you should be centered around the idea that being involved in learning Gemara on a daily basis is a tremendous, tremendous thing. It's more important than finishing the Gemara, although finishing the Gemara is a lot of fun. So let's talk about that. Tips for maximizing the daf and tips for sticking with the daf. First of all, if we're talking about siyumim, and again, I may say things that are slightly contradictory, and that's okay because I'm drawing upon experiences that I've had, and at different points in my life, I needed different things to do the daf. Right, what I needed in Shana Aleph when I didn't know how to learn a Gemara was different than what I need, you know, this year when I do and I'm still in yeshiva. And what I needed in Shana Aleph and what I need in this year is very different than when I was in the army and I either didn't have the time or the particular motivation. So different things helped me through, and that I think that's helpful because everyone is going to draw on kind of a different experience, perhaps that's going to help them push forward. So siyums are a wonderful thing, and you're allowed to make a big deal of it. You're allowed to look forward to a siyum, right? Because sometimes it might be on your most lazy day that might be the only thing pushing you forward. Man, I just really want to make a siyum, right? That's not the ideal way of doing it, but if it's a difference between you doing it and not doing it, well, then you should be excited for your siyum. Make a big deal of it. Have a barbecue. Have, you know, 10 people. Rav Melamed writes regarding the halacha of the 9 days that a siyum obviously exempts the iser of eating meat for the seudat mitzvah, but you're not allowed to make that siyum into an anomaly. I mean, you can't go out of your way. You can't do something differently than you would normally do. So first of all, you can't save up siyums. You can't plan out to davka finish during the 9 days. It has to be incidental. We'll talk later about what camps do and what they don't do. But that's what Sweaty writes. I'm not saying he's the only shita. I'm saying that's what he writes. And furthermore, a sudan mitzvah is supposed to be with a minyan, right? A minyan and motzi. So if you don't have a minyan and motzi when you generally make a siyum, I don't know why you're davka doing this during the 9 days, right? Meaning, if you normally make a siyum with, you know, whoever's next to you and you go get ice cream, then why are you davka having a barbecue with lechemishn or with motzi and 10 people during the 9 days? That's making a mockery of this institution, right? If you do that every single time, then of course you can do it during the 9 days. Well, that means two things. First of all, if you want to do it during the 9 days, you should do it every time. It's a good trick to know. But second of all, it gets you excited to make a siyum. You should look forward to it because on some days, you know, it's maybe hard to see this way in yeshiva. On some days, it may just be the only thing that's pushing you through. So make a big deal of your siyum. Enjoy your siyum. It's a wonderful simcha, and you should look forward to it. You make a big deal of it, and sometimes it might be the only thing that's pushing you through. Now, there are going to be days where it's very difficult to learn, either for time purposes or motivation purposes, whatever it may be. And some days you may just miss. You may miss, and sometimes you may even miss 2 days in a row, right? And then you're thinking, well, learning the daf is hard enough. It took me 1, 2, 3 hours, whatever it is, and now I have, you know, 2 to catch up on, and 1 to do today. So, like, what do I even do? I guess I should just give up, right? I mean, what do you even do at that point? So there are a couple different shitas that you could take. I would recommend taking the shita that's most practical to you. Now, a couple different shitas. One is, today is a different day. You do that daf. Keep in mind, use Benjamin Klein's app. You track which ones you haven't done yet, right? I hear it's coming out for Android, right? And it's in the process. There's a little bit of a plug. But Torah Tracker. You mark out the ones that you didn't do, and you stay with Klal Yisrael, and you know the daf that you're on. You have an extra hour one day, it's over a weekend, whatever, I don't know what happens, right? Then you go back and you do that daf. So that's one sheet, or those two daf, or those three, whatever it is that you're missing. At your own pace, but keep on the pace with Klal Yisrael. That's the most important thing. And the other suggestion I would have is have two built ways, at least two methods for learning the daf. Right? Have the ideal way. This is what I want to get out of the daf. this is what I would like to do, right? It means it's going over every word inside and every Rashi. In fact, I would like to start with Chazara from yesterday, and I'll write down my questions to myself, and I'll memorize the Shakla Vitari. I don't recommend that, but you know, have something. This is what I would like the Daf Yomi to look like. And then have the, this is my worst case scenario, Daf. Right? Like, I missed 4 days, what do I do? Okay, well, it's time for worst case scenario, Daf. Right? And so what does worst case scenario, Daf, look like? Maybe it looks like reading it quickly inside, noting what you didn't get, just like make a quick simon by whatever you didn't chop, go on, look it up in the art scroll, and move on with your life. I'm not saying that should be every day. In fact, if that's like 4 times out of the week, then you may have an issue and you should kind of rethink what you're doing. But have a worst case scenario Daf option. Because, like I said, the most important part of Daf Yomi is saying that I learned yesterday, I'm learning today, and I'll learn tomorrow. Right? And if you get hung up on doing it perfectly every single time, and it hurts me to say this because I don't want you to feel like I'm giving you this heter to breeze through it without actually understanding what you're doing. So take what I'm saying in context. But just know that if it's the difference of you getting hung up on the details, trying to be perfect with it, and or skimming through something and not doing it as well as possible, if that's the difference between whether you're doing Daf Yomi tomorrow or not, compromise. I'm telling you to compromise. It's going to keep you on pace. I know a lot of people who refuse to compromise. Guess what? They don't do Daf Yomi today, right? I know a lot of people who got on their own programs, who said, I'm going to do it like this. Daf, I'm going to do Amud Yomi. I think it's more realistic. I think it may be more realistic. You may get a better, it may be more your speed. But I don't know people who started Amud Yomi and are still doing Amud Yomi. Or I'll make a small correction. I know people who started Amud Yomi are still in Amud Yomi, but not who can say that they have done an Amud for every day, not just every day, but for every day since they've started. But if you do Daf Yomi, you have to do a Daf every day since you started, because the cycle will move on without you. It doesn't care why you didn't do it. There's a Daf on Yom Kippur, even though you're davening all day, and there's a Daf on Tisha B'Av, even though it is literally usher to learn, right? There's a Daf that day. It'll move on without you. It doesn't care what your reason was, no matter how legitimate, right? So if you're with a program, it works. If you're not with a program, whatever you think you're telling yourself, it doesn't work. It doesn't. You can, you know, feel free to be the thousandth person that I know who has tried this. Tell me if it works, but, you know, you'd be the first one, right? I don't know people who can say, I'm on a different alternative Daf Yomi program or Amud Yomi program. It's on my own pace and my own thing. And I have done one Daf for every single day since I started the program. I don't know a person. Anyone listen to the recording, you can tell me if you're that guy. I've never met him. Okay. Know what you want. Know what you want out of it. If you would like to be a Gadol HaDor by the end of this cycle, it's probably not going to happen. I encourage you to try. It's probably not going to happen. Probably. Right? So maybe that's not your goal in Daf Yomi, but you should know what your goal is. I think my goal in the beginning was I wanted to see all the, you know, Ikare Ma'amarei Chazal that we know as Talmud Bavli. I want to see it all for a number of reasons. First of all, being exposed to that breadth of Torah just totally shocks, it impacts the way that you see everything in your world. You get to see it through Chazal's eyes because you've seen everything they've said. Right, it's not everything they've said, but the Ikar Ma'amarim that are included within Talmud Bavli. Second of all, it imbues everything that you think and do and learn and consider with at least a little bit of Ratzon Hashem. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're making a decision that isn't a psak, a halacha, mutter, or aser, and you want to know, how do I go about thinking or approaching this matter in a way that's appropriate? It's not an easy thing to quantify, right? Like, how do you not be a novel b'rshut Torah if it's not usser or mutter, right? It's not an easy thing to quantify. But you can use these ma'amarei chazal to at least start an approach. And it doesn't have to be necessarily an ethical thing, right? How do you approach learning? The way I love approaching learning is learn for breadth and just keep doing it in increasingly deeper levels of study. Why do I think that? First of all, I connect to it very, very strongly. And second of all, it's a Mefurish Gemara and Avodah Zarah. I think it's Daf Yod Chet, maybe Daf Yod Tet. Right? Now, I only know that because I got to Avodah Zarah. Right? And that's like 6 years of Daf. Right? So, first of all, my Shita of learning is to
go over, you know, massive swaths of information and just keep doing it, increasing levels of depth. Because every single time, what you learned the previous cycle or the previous sources or the other sources are going to impact the way that you understand this. You're going to, I think Rav Schechter loves pointing this out, that you can learn all of, you know, Gittin and think you know all Hilchot Gittin, and yet there's like a halacha in Gittin that only appears in Psachim, doesn't even appear in Gittin, right? So you need to learn all Shas to understand any of Shas. And therefore, the information that you consume is going to impact everything that you learn, and I'm not confident that you can fully understand anything before you understand a little bit of everything. And that's how this process is built. So that was my goal. It's important to know your goal, because that's going to inform what your plan is. Because if you want tremendous Yediata Torah from Daf Yomi, then what do you need to do? Then you need to do 10 Chazaras. Right? That's what Rav Kook says to a Talmud that wrote him a letter. He's like, it was wonderful hearing from you, but I was so shocked to hear that you're only doing Chazara on your Limud three times. You should know you're never going to have a Tzlacha if you're only doing Chazara on your Limud three times. I found that you need to do it at least 10 times if you want to remember it. Okay, so if that's what you're going for, then you need to do 10 Chazaras on it. If that's not your goal, then you should decide what is your goal and figure out how exactly to achieve that. I'd be happy to help, but it's a personal thing. Right? There's no one set goal. Or Meshbir didn't say this is the only goal to do Daf Yomi. If you don't have my goal, then get out. Right? That's everyone is allowed to have their own goal within it. And then you build a system from there. I would recommend, whether you plan on doing Chazara or two Chazaras, three Chazaras, whatever it is, the Shir works as a great Chazara. You want to learn it beforehand and use the Shir for a Chazara. You want to use the Shir as a springboard, as Rav Tarrigan said, I'll break you in, right? For learning the Daf the next day, that works as well. Every time the Shir will be recorded the night before. So that's an excellent program. But I would recommend trying to take away something quantifiable from every daf. An inyan, just a small inyan. If you don't take notes, you don't do 10 chazaras, whatever it is, write down in a notebook, daf bet of brachot, here's one pshat, one thing that I learned, one interesting thing, one inyan, and then that's not the whole Gemara. But think about it, by the end of the Gemara, you're going to have 64 pshatim in brachot. How many do you have now? Right? Like, that's something significant. Right? So that's what I would recommend. Think of something quantifiable to take away from this idea. Okay, there's probably a lot more to say. I think that in general, I find that Friday, Shabbat are the most difficult days to really, find time and find motivation and focus to do the daf. So I think what I'm going to do is, Emir Tzashem, Thursday night's daf, we're going to end with 5 minutes of chizuk going into the weekend, because I think it'll make a difference in terms of staying strong over those 2 days. All right, ad kan, tips and chizuk.